If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be here with you today. And if you are here, let me just say hat tip to you, because you're part of the faithful. Like, these rough losses, Wayne, and this was, I'm going to be very honest with you, RUFF, rough. But what I want to do today is I want to go through the 49ers issues, explain why this happened, why the 49ers are where they are, and then end with some positives for sure. But man, Wayne, how are you feeling today? Awesome trip. We freaking, me and Wayne were reunited. It was wonderful.
It felt so good, right?
Dude, man, Houston was off the job. That's the thing. We did our job. We created great space for the 49ers. We had 800 people come out Saturday. We had 700 people at our tailgate. We had a great time. Just created space for people to have a good time. Then we go to the game, and they didn't live up to their end of the bargain. But, Wayne, how are we feeling? Are you exhausted like I am, by the way?
Absolutely, man. Everything about me is exhausted. My voice is exhausted. But we're here. We're going to give it to you raw. Like, right. That's how I'm feeling right now. Like, you know, everything raw.
So the idea of 49ers issues, okay? So let's – and I want to see this in the chat too. So if you're watching live, whether you're on Wayne's channel, my channel, subscribe to both, support both, please, we appreciate you guys. I want you to think of what you think the number one issue is – of the 49ers so far this season. And, you know, the Texas game was a microcosm of kind of what the issues are. Mm-hmm. But you are 5-3. Like, it's not like the season is lost. Despair, I know you feel that way after a loss. We all do. But, Wayne, it maybe not. And so everybody in the chat put what you think the main issue is. But, Wayne, tell me about one of the issues that comes to mind with the 49ers, and especially in this Texans game, that you think is, like, why the game went the way that it did.
Whew.
Yeah, right? That's exactly right. We need to do some breathing exercises, man.
I mean, my biggest thing is they need to address the defensive line. And I think even if Bryce Huff would have played, it would have been a totally different outcome. And so he didn't, and so they went in it thinking that they can get the job done with whom they had. And so I'm not knocking them for that. But I think moving forward, you know, you're down a Nick Bosa, and now you're going to be down to Bryce Huff. And even when Huff returns, I just don't believe he's going to be the Huff that he was before the hamstring injury. And I really think, to me, if you generated any type of pass rush in that game, it would have been a totally different outcome. And so, I don't know, man. I feel like that defensive line was exposed. And I know a lot of us are going to be like, oh, the offensive line is terrible. Yes. Yep. The offense was horrific. It was. But the defense, for the first time, didn't show up, in my opinion, and execute. So I'm a little concerned more about the defense. The offense has been consistently bad. 20-point average. A little bit below now. So I wasn't expecting 26, 30 points. You get what I'm saying? But what I was expecting from the defense was holding the worst offense in the NFL to under 20 points. That's what I was expecting.
My whole thing, you know, I said this several times of the week. First one to 20 wins. And that rang true. Like, first one to 20 wins. And, yeah, you lost 15 to 26. You never even got to 20. The 49ers had their lowest scoring output of the season. Now, the Texans defense, that was a for real unit. That was never going to be in question. The problem, like, the thing that bothered me, you talk defensive line. That Texans offensive line is the worst in football. You just made them look like freaking 1990s Cowboy, you know, Larry Brown, Nate Newton, all those guys. And I hate the Cowboys more than anything, but probably one of the best offensive lines in the history of the game. Dude, they just imposed their will across the board. And so that brings me to my issue, Wayne. And I think a lot of people are going to put this, you know, in their thing, whether, you know, it's the lack of pass rush. But I'm with Alejandro here. Injuries are one of, if not the main issue. Obviously, no Nick Bosa, no Bryce Huff, no Etur Gross Matos, no Fred Warner. Like, that's a lot. But at some point, like, you've got to do something. And I think the 49ers this year have gotten really lucky with the fact that you started so many rookies.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay because you had Demo in the secondary. It was okay because you had Fred Warner in the linebackers. It was okay because you had Nick Bosa in the defensive line group. Now two or three of those are gone, and, man, it is showing. The first game, I think this was the first game, Wayne, where youth on defense got completely exposed.
Exposed.
Miscommunications. You weren't running man coverage right. You weren't running your zone
cuts right.
Zone was a disaster. Tackling was awful.
10 missed tackles, bro.
Yeah,
look, I agree with the injuries, but that's the easy route. Like, that's right. Duh. Like, you know, if we weren't injured, if Bosa and Fred Warner weren't injured, like, we already know that the team would be much more talk, but, you know, in a positive note, because, you know, you got those, you know, those pillars holding it down. I mean, before the season started, we talked about they didn't address free agency in the way we thought. They went the cheaper route, and it was because they felt like they had pillars on every level, right? Defensive line, Nick Bosa. Linebacker, Fred Warner. And the secondary, Diamondre Lenore. So we thought defensively the biggest issue was going to be safety, which it was. And it still is. Still a problem. But now the whole defense is an issue. So when I say pass rush, I'm trying to still help that secondary. And what's the best way to help the secondary?
Pass rush.
Okay. So that's why. No, you're not wrong saying injuries, but, like, we already know that the injuries are really plaguing us. The injuries is the plague. That's the plague. We have been plagued by injuries. I'd rather see locusts and whatever, the boils. Give me those. Right,
we're,
now
we're, we get, we're in the plagues category.
You get what I'm saying? Give me those two plagues or any other plagues that happened. Right now, it's just injury after injury after injury. And at first, the injuries started off with minor injuries. And then I remember I would come on the show and be like, well, man, at least we're not out for the season. And then here come the season ending injuries. So that's definitely the answer. That is the answer. But if I had to signal out what I felt like was the problem in this particular past game, man, the defense was atrocious. And I can't give Robert Saleh credit for having a bad defense. Like, he called bad plays. He was running freaking nickel predominantly on downs where they made 57 eligible. Like, what?
I was losing my mind. They would come in and they do this. You see the rest. 57's reporting eligible. Like, they changed that. And the Niners just kept bringing in Upton Stout. And it's like, dude, why are we subbing in the smallest guy against an offensive lineman? And, like, that's my – so here's my issue, okay, defensively. Look, I get the no pass rush. That's a problem. I get the horrible coverage, the miscommunication. I understand that. What I don't understand is how easily they ran the ball against the 49ers the entire damn game. 36 rush attempts for 157 yards, 4.4 yards per carry. That is the one thing. Mm. Like, you bypass, and Mikael Williams was out there. Alfred Collins was out there, got hurt, came back. Like, you had all those guys that you drafted and brought in free agency to stop the run. And they didn't do it. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than PrizePicks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouth-watering steak burgers. That's 4 of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack. Plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Now, missed tackles were a big deal. Upton Stout, I like Upton Stout.
Me too.
I thought the team got a lot better whenever he went out of the game for a short period of time. Chase Lucas, what was the quote? Kyle Shanahan said, quote, he's a young guy with a promising future. And I agree with that. He's getting picked on in the pass game. The missed tackles, he had 2 major missed tackles.
Yeah, John.
It's bad. And I don't like Upton Stout playing with Jair Brown. That's whenever
he's another trash. Listen, when I coverage – I specifically feel like if I was a coach, I would know how to play Jair Brown. But I don't think Jair Brown fits this defense. Now, if Jair Brown was on Houston, he would fit it perfectly because he can play the Kellen Bullock role. But for some reason, we don't play single high all the time, and you cover it. That's not what we're doing. It's too complicated for him, and he just doesn't have the athleticism to play the other part of the safety game. And to me, I would leave him back there and just let him be the hawk in the sky. He doesn't have the speed, but he does have that vision to where he can make plays on the ball. But that's not what Robert Saleh is asking him to do. Whatever we did, whatever, here's what I would do if I was Robert Saleh. Get on the phone with Steve Wilks and be like, yo, what did you have Jair Brown do that worked? Now, I know guys don't talk to each other probably during the season, but we don't play the Jets. So I don't know, man. Jair Brown is a liability in coverage.
Huge touchdown right across his face.
He's not going to cover the slant route. Marquise Siegel was he inactive? Didn't see a snap.
No, he was on special teams. He played
didn't see a defensive snap. He got demoted big time. At least he could keep up with these players, but he just never was able to make a play. You put Jair Brown out there, now he's getting torched on slant routes. They slant guided us up, bro. It was slant king. Bing, 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 bing. Every explosive play was a slant. Every play, bro, or a big run.
They ran off slants probably three or four times. And whenever they showed we were in man.
That's my Madden play, too, by the way.
Hey, man, just throw to whoever breaks in front of the corner. It's simple. But then whenever we would go man, they would do bunch trips and run rub routes.
Trips to the right, bunched up, 3-by-1 formation. And I'm saying, what the blood clot are we doing? How do you not, as a coach, now I'm big on, what's the word I like? It starts with the E, execution. But as a coach, if you don't put the players in the right spot, how are they going to execute?
Oh, dude. So, like, my coaching philosophy, and I borrowed this from Lambert. So, shout out to Coach Lambert. He don't watch. Look, coaching on defense was down to three things: alignment, assignment, execution. You got to line up right. You got to know what your job is. Now you execute it. Whenever every player, all 11, alignment, assignment, execution, things go smooth. We didn't get past the first A, Wayne. We didn't align right. We didn't know our assignments, and we sure as hell didn't execute because there were busted coverages everywhere. And D-Winners, like, look, D-Winners and Tato Bethune out there was an issue. Tato Bethune, you're filling in for the best linebacker in the NFL. I get that. Like, I get it. But he was lost.
In the sauce.
And that's whatever I say. Like, the youth caught up to us big time. Caught up to the 49ers big time.
But hear me out, John. This is what frustrates me. And if y'all don't want to watch this show, change the channel. I get it. But this is what's frustrating me. You're saying that the youth cost us big time. And I understand that. It's going to happen. But they were just as youthful. We got beat by two rookie wide receivers, a second-year wide receiver, and a guy that's been in the league since 1969, and then a quarterback that has been trending downwards ever since. He's the most sacked quarterback in the league, and we ain't get to him once. So we got beat by that. Oh, and their offensive line is terrible, and Ariante Ursery, their first-round pick, was an all-pro against our line. All-pro. He was an all-pro. He's giving up the most sacks for his quarterback. It became all-pro in 1 week. And you're going to blame our youth? They were just as youthful, John. So how dare youth trump our youth?
Yeah, and that's why I say, like, if we would have at least stopped the run, I would have been fine with it because you got all run stuffers. But, like, we didn't do that either. And so, like, that's my biggest issue is, like, look, I could have – you could live with it. If you do, like, look, we prioritize stopping the run. The scheme prioritizes stopping the run, but you didn't do that. You couldn't even do that. Like, if you were bad at pass rush but stopped the run, that's one thing. If you have a good pass rush but you can't stop the run, that's one thing. But when you're bad at both, that's the killer. And so,
yeah. I don't know, man. I'm still frustrated.
And that never happens.
Right.
Like, that's not how
I don't even like to say that term, but that's kind of like what it was, right? I mean,
D'Amico, Shanahan, He dominated.
Straight up.
Dominated.
Would
that
you,
game plan.
But hold on. Let's be fair. Let's look at what DeMeco Ryans is working with compared to what Kyle Shanahan is working with. Now, I know we got the weapons, but we never prioritized, we have never prioritized up front. And where the Texans the strongest? Up front.
Defensively.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. When you said DeMeco, I thought defense against Shanahan's offense.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. No,
up front.
Right.
And so you're looking at Will Anderson. They made the move for Danielle Hunter, made sure they paid him. They got crazy interior guys as well. Their whole defense, PFF ranked, are like top 10 players in every on all the defense. They got a top 10 defensive line in the league. They were 5th in stopping the run, and they made sure that they were 10th in stopping the run, and they made sure that they came in and stopped the run. I mean, there was one play where I saw Matt Hennessy get knocked on his asparagus, bro. Like, bro, how you getting bull rushed by a motherfucking defensive tackle just to get knocked on your ass and the dude right in the backfield 5-yard loss? Like, this is the stuff I'm talking about. The Niners, and I get why a lot of us feel like the offensive line, but listen, our offensive line is our offensive line. There's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. You got to negate the pass rush. And I felt like Kyle Shanahan just did. Mac Jones doesn't help the offensive line.
No.
Mac Jones is looking for the offensive line to help him. Brock Purdy, though, that's the difference. That's the difference. That's one of the biggest differences between the two.
I felt like if there was a healthy Brock Purdy, which is a big if, he would have had like 50 yards rushing.
He's a 56, Jones, like, just to make it, you know, a better number.
I like that.
Lawrence Taylor number.
Hey, I got to take a second to say shout out to Alex Lopez. She is one of the newest 49ers rush team. She brought her family out again. And, dude, she dominated helping us in the Houston event. That Houston event was crazy, Wayne.
Man, shout out to, oh, damn it, Nick. What was the girl's name? There was a girl, right, that showed up. And I can't remember her name. Jenna. James, whatever. And she had on the dopest Super Bowl hat. And you know me, I said, I like your hat. She's like, thank you. I said, well, can I have it? And she said, can I buy it? She was like, oh no. And I was like, sure I can. Everybody has a price. And she's like, no, my grandfather gave me this hat. And I said, never mind. I already understood because you probably weren't even, she wasn't even alive during the Super Bowl. And then I talked to her mom and the mom's sister, and they gave me their whole lineage of history of 49er fandom from father to grandma, grandfather, all the way down. So the hat was passed down to her as the grandbaby, and now she's out supporting her team, rocking granddad's hat. But I tell you what, if you ever want to get rid of that hat, I can't remember your first name. I know you're going to watch because I told your mom to subscribe. Damn it, I can't believe my memory sucks. But if you ever want to get rid of the hat, not get rid of the hat, I will hold the hat in your grandfather's honor. It was a dope Super Bowl. It was the Cincinnati Super Bowl.
It was so fun.
And it was corduroy too. Oh.
Dude, I love that. And that's the cool thing when you get together with, like, the faithful. You see all, like, the old nostalgic, like, cool stuff. You know what I mean? People showed up in John Taylor jerseys. Like, I saw John Brody jersey. Like, dude, that's what it's about. So, if you're going to any game this year, you got to come party with us this week in New York. Wayne's going to be there. You kidding me? Wayne Breezy? Man. So, come party with us. You go to any 49ers road game. We'll be there. Check us out right here.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All
All right. And this week, we are going to be out in New York. I cannot wait. On the 1st, from 4 to 8 p.m., we're going to be over in Jersey, Hoboken, at the Ainsworth, right there on the water, one of the coolest views in the city. I'm super pumped about this. 4 to 8 p.m., kids always free. Wayne's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Moe's going to be there. Aponte's coming out. We're going to have a really good time. And then our tailgate. Our tailgate's going to be off the hook, man. We're going to be all the way out in MetLife Lot C, right there, just like one block from the stadium. Come join us. All inclusive. Wayne, how was our tailgate this weekend?
This might have been the best tailgate ever. This tailgate held it. I mean, the energy. We had more energy at our tailgate than the 49ers did showing up to the stadium.
That is factual. It was such a good time. So if you're going to New York, man, come party with us. Trust me. Jump on the Tick Pick app, search 49ers Rush, or go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And Wayne, we got some more bad news. You ready for this? You probably already saw it. One of the 49ers defensive ends got snatched. Travis Gibson, who is basically a starter for us, got snatched off our practice squad. The Panthers signed him.
It's part of the game.
It's part of it.
I'm not mad. He ain't do shit. Sorry. He ain't do shit.
He had the closest to quarterback rating from Next Gen Stats of all the defensive linemen. He was the closest to CJ Stroud. Still not close, but closest. Like, horses, right? Like, he was closest.
If his mama named him Clay, I'm going to call him Clay. He ain't do shit. Like that's all I'm looking at, bro. If you produce, you get the flowers. If you don't produce, there's no second place. He hasn't done anything. But the only thing that hurts us, because like you said it, is it takes another rotative piece away from the 49ers, which means it sounds like they're going to have to add somebody to the practice squad, which probably won't help out, you know. So.
And like, here's the thing. Like, I think the lowest point of the game was two 49ers players got hurt on the same play. I think it was Alfred Collins and Sammo, who, like, you know, Alfred Collins came back. Sammo, I looked down, they're carting him to the locker room. And it's like, dude, you're down Nick Bosa.
Day to day.
You're down Ytir Gross Matos. You're down Bryce Huff. Now you're down Sammo. That's four out of five of your defensive ends out. Now, they're saying Sammo's day to day somehow.
Day to day. You leave the cart and you end up day to day. He must have had a bad knee cramp.
It was an ankle. But yeah,
I'm
like,
just
I think
saying,
it
whatever
just
it was, it was a cramp because you got carted off for a cramp. Can you get a cramp in the ankle? I know. I'm making it up. I'm just saying just thank goodness it wasn't as severe because he literally left on the cart. Like, it was a cart.
Yeah.
So now I don't all know right. how to look at it when I see a cart. He'll probably be back. He'll be day to day.
I'll take it, man, because Sam O's been one of the most consistent players we had. He ain't been great. Yo, but, like, he's not a negative.
Can I just say this before you get to this comment? I know I talk about Nick Bosa a lot because he's the greatest. But I think that the Niners' rotation was mother freaking solid, bro. Like, you had, and let me just correct me if I'm wrong, but you had Bryce Huff, you had Ytir Gross Matos, and you had Sam O. Like, those four guys rotating on the edge was giving Niners,
with,
like,
Mikael Williams stopping the run and doing all his stuff. But, yeah.
I didn't get to that part yet. That was going to be your interior. But that right there, Robert Saleh had a master plan that literally got derailed due to injury. So that's why I'm not mad when people say injuries, but I just feel like that's the give. My thing is then, now how is Saleh going to revamp the plan? I don't want this to be a season where you just be like, ah, man. No, it doesn't have to be that way. We're 5-3. We can stop the bleeding. You got money. There's a trade deadline. F them picks. And do what you got to do to help stop the bleeding. Now, let me be the first to say, no, I don't believe there is one, not one. I don't believe in just one person being able to come in here and fix stuff. But there is one person that they could go out there that can help fix this pass rush because they need a guy that is dominant up front, which will be the help back to this run defense. This run defense is going to be terrible, John, until we fix this edge. And they're young. So either we go with the growing pains, which it's week 9. How many more growing pains you want, John?
They're still going to be coming.
Okay. What up, Nick?
Dude, shout out to the man, Nick Parra. Appreciate Super Chat, brother. He says, what's up, faithful family? Long time no see. That's what he said. We were hanging out all Houston. It was awesome. He was there with the fam. This past game was rough, but we had a lot of fun, success at the event. See you guys soon. He's going to be out there. He's a Jersey guy. Guys, I got something I need everybody to do. If you're on Instagram and you want to look good, Niners bling, Instagram, type in SF Gold Rush Gear. SF Gold Rush Gear. The best 49ers bling that you could imagine. You want that like chain. You want those earrings for your girl on her birthday. Make her feel, you know, make her want to go to the game. You get her some 49ers bling. She won't want to come hang out. So Instagram, go over to SF Gold Rush Gear. They sell at all of our events. We are partners with them. They are incredible. Shout out to Nicholas Parra. Man, appreciate you, bud. Can't wait to be back with you guys this week.
I need to say this. If I'm at an event, please don't ask me, can you take a picture?
Why?
You just grab me and take the picture. I love pictures, and I would love to be in the picture with you. You don't have to ask me. I'm the most down-earth. First of all, I'll be to myself. I will find a corner with no corners. That's me.
When Wayne don't want to be found, Wayne gone.
Like John got to send me one of, you know how you go out to eat and you get that vibrating thing bzz, 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 to tell you to come to your table? John got to send me a text. Hey, Breezy, they looking for you. All right, cool, here I come. Like, that is me. I'm super intro. So you, but I don't bite your head off. You just say, hey, Breeze, what's good? Let's take this photo. Cool. I transform. I put the cape back on, man. Like, but you don't got to ask. I'm not mean. I am very nice. Now, I might be mean on camera, but I'm very nice in person, man. I love everybody.
Oh, positive vibes, man.
Like, yeah. See, Peachy, no. I'm photobombing. If I wasn't even supposed to be in the picture, I'm in the picture.
Oh, look at this. Sorry, shout out just to wanted to put David that disclaimer Gill. Out there. He says, I ran with the Marine Corps Marathon Sunday, so I was too sore to be hurt by the Niners. Shout out to David G.
Bro, Dave, put in here the mileage. I'm curious to know. Did you run a 5K? Did you run 5K times two? I'm just curious to know.
26.2.
20 what to what to what?
26.2.
He didn't run 26.2.
Dude, David's stud, man. I've met him.
Dave, you are the man. Salute, bro.
They some studs, man.
Salute, bro.
All right, I want to talk about what I think I'm most upset about.
Okay, I thought it was injuries.
Injuries is up there. That's the big thing. Right now, the thing that pisses me off the most is Juwan Jennings.
Oh, here we go. Let's go.
There were 11 offensive plays in the first half. I just finished my first half breakdown. That's
I thought it was 14.
Well, with punts, right? So, like, I don't count the punt plays.
Say less. Out
there. He had 5 negative plays in the first 11 plays in the first half. 5. 2 penalties, 1 drop pass, 1 missed block, and then 1 missed rub route where he was supposed to pick the guy and actually dodged the corner to allow the corner to make the play. Like, who is number 15? I don't recognize who. Did you ever see Juwan Jennings dodging a cornerback?
No, it was just he's different. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, this the same Juwan Jennings. I can't do that.
Not.
I can't give y'all that false information. Do I have hope that, you know, do I have hope? Absolutely, but
can he return? Can he return?
I don't know. But this is why he was a 7th round draft pick and not a 1st round draft pick. I don't know. And don't get it twisted. Did he do what he needed to do to show up to make some money? Yep. Is he doing it to sustain that? No. Well, I don't know what Juwan is thinking as far as him being able to go out there and get a deal. It just seems like his time in the Bay is over. It seems like he's over the Bay. Like, I don't know if you know what, John, I really do believe things happen behind the scenes that get kind of like tucked, that stuff that we don't know. But that's the only explanation that would make sense to why we're seeing a decline in Juwan Jennings. For a guy to not be a willing blocker who was known for blocking, something's got to be up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's not even lining up right. Very first play of the game, dude lines up wrong. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with an injury. And it's not the first time. He had two penalties in the first 3 plays. Like, that's not injured.
You know, if I get injured, and yeah, the drop was going across the middle again. He alligator armed it again. He got scared like that. But that's the thing. Like, okay, if it's the injury and he's scared to go over the middle, that's not Juwan Jennings. If it's the mentality and not even knowing the 49ers play, he's been on the same team with the same play caller and same offense for five.
Yeah, the plays are different. No, you can miss me with that, right? You can miss me with that. Yeah.
And then the lack of blocking, like, dude, he had the second lowest run blocking grade again.
But check out his run blocking grade this year has been pretty low.
It's, yeah, like
him and Kendrick Bourne are the worst wide receiver blocking.
And I always used to say that Juwan Jennings was miles better than Kendrick Bourne because the run blocking.
Yes.
Kendrick Bourne historically has been a bad run blocker.
Yeah.
Historically.
We miss Brandon Ayuk in more ways than none, right?
Like, right.
Right. But at one point, JJ surpassed Brandon Ayuk in run blocking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's bigger. He's more physical. He doesn't block with his feet as well. Like, he's more of, like, a physical brute.
Yeah.
One of the things that people don't understand, like, run blocking, I used to tell my wide receivers this. Like, you run block with your eyes and your feet. If your eyes and your feet are good, you're always, like, it's not about, like, killing guys or whatever. JJ kills guys. But Ayuk doesn't kill anybody. Ayuk just always brings his feet. His eyes and hands are always where they need to be, and it's an effort issue. Effort's gone. Personality's gone. When was the last time Juwan Jennings broke a tackle? Like, I don't know.
I'm not saying he's not dealing with injuries or ailments or whatever you want to call these things, but his effort has been the diminished for me. And so if you don't have the same effort, you're not going to make those spectacular plays, right? Like the plays you're used to seeing a person make. Like, yeah, we could talk about ball placement all day. Should the ball have been placed on the opposite side, would it have made it a little bit easier for him to catch? Possibly. But
Chanahan called that a touchdown. I don't know if you picked it up in the press conference. He's like, Mac Jones didn't play great. He's like, I don't think anybody on offense did, but he had the amazing touchdown pass to Kittle. He had the touchdown pass to Jennings.
To Drew Jennings. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, that was a drop. That was a. And Sky Moore
it
one?
Was,
like,
it was Sky Moore. I'm not expecting anything from Sky Moore, so y'all can miss me with that. But the Jennings, if you beat the coverage, I'm expecting him to catch that. Yeah, I was. I'm sorry, man. Big Red Faithful.
Yeah. I love it. He's quoting Shorzy over there.
I don't know if it's been checked out since Bourne came back. I think it's been checked out preseason.
But there's two ways to handle things. You handle things like Colton McKivitz, who is in the exact same situation, or you handle things like Kendrick LeBourne, or like Juwan Jennings. The way to do it.
Oh, you're saying those are the opposites. You're right. Those are the two ways to do it. The difference, though, are the positions. You know what I'm saying? Like position group. Wide receivers come with a different annotation. Like they got a different vibe. Offensive linemen usually don't, you know. They don't really, you know. But you're right. There are two ways to do it, and you have to do it the McKivitz way. And even Jennings was quiet, remember? Like, you know, he was quiet. He was behind the scenes. You didn't hear much of it, so no one thought it was going to be drama. And here we are, week 9, with wide receiver drama. You know what I'm saying?
Gosh, man. I just want Ricky Pearsall. So let me ask you this, Wayne. What would you do at the wide receiver position? Let's assume, which is a giant assumption, that eventually – Ricky Pearsall and Brandon Ayuk return. Now, Ayuk's practice window wasn't open this week, but I think in the next month it will be. And I think that, you know, after a week or two of just practicing, getting back in shape, he will be active. I do expect Brandon Ayuk to play. We've been saying November.
Oh, he's going to play. November's
and we're almost
here.
In November. So let's just play this game. Ayuk's healthy. Pearsall's healthy. Kendrick Bourne's healthy. You've got Juwan Jennings healthy. DeMarcus Robinson healthy. Jordan Watkins healthy. Who are your starting three wide receivers? Let's assume they're all healthy. How do you do that?
Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall, and Juwan Jennings. And it's a different vibe when Ayuk out there, man. Like, you got one guy. I think with Jennings, his targets and stuff, he's still leading the team in targets. But it's, like, different. When Brandon Ayuk is stretching the defense, you got Ricky Pearsall stretching left and right. And then you got Juwan Jennings, like, in a man with George Kittle out there. I mean, like, the offense is totally different. It's just easy. I don't know. Maybe it's easy for him, but I still want Juwan Jennings out there. I feel like he's more of a willing blocker when he's out there. Plus, he's technically still one of your best blocking wide receivers. And so Ayuk and Jennings out there, that helps the run game big time. I think Ricky Pearsall is a pretty, you know, willing blocker. So those are the guys I want out there. I mean, Kendrick Bourne is going to have get you plays, get you catches, but he's also going to have some drops. DeMarcus Robinson, he's not really doing shit for us at this point, so I don't really see the point. Like, you know what I mean? I take anybody over him. I'll take Kendrick Bourne over him at this point. And I know you didn't mention Sky Moore, so I'll move on from that one.
He was about to be bounced from the roster. If Jordan Watkins gets healthy, Sky Moore is gone. And I think they worked out Marquez Valdes-Scantling to bring him back as that number six spot, and then they were just going to release Sky Moore. Well, Marquez Valdes-Scantling just signed a deal with the Steelers. That one's gone. So, and I'll say this, because it's funny, because Kendrick Bourne has a lot of drops and stuff too. Here's what's crazy. Catch rate, success rate for 49ers wide receivers this year. Kendrick Bourne, 69.2%. Nice. Juwan Jennings, 44. Like, that is one of the worst catch rates. That's worse than Dez Bryant last year of his NFL career, like, which was one of the lowest catch rates in the history of the NFL. Like, that's the pace Juwan Jennings is on.
Yeah, but 40%. Get him back. Put him in the Bourne slot. Put the motherfucker back in the slot.
Give him a run over the middle. If it's a pass over the middle, he's dropping it. He can only run out routes now?
Oh, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like they're not. I don't know why you don't put him in a slot. Him in the slot would dominate this game, and it'll boost his confidence, whatever. But it's just funny. Like, that's what he does. That's how you can use him. That's how you can get him back to being who we know. Give him the quick slants. Those are all going to Kendrick Bourne now. And so you're using Jennings differently. It's out route here. Like, and he's catching these passes right on the sideline, and he doesn't really have much to break. But if you're saying it's because he's not willing to run over the middle, I call bullshit. I just feel like there.
Three drops in 2 weeks and one interception.
Drops? The interception went off his hands. Like, I get it. But you gotta throw it to him. That's all you got.
Yeah. If you're going to put him out there, you got to throw it to him.
Got to throw it to him.
I'm not sure I'd put him out there.
I don't know if I would target him as much, but you got to throw it to him.
All right, I've got another big issue that I want to talk about. But first, I want to pump up Wayne Breezy's Patreon. Pedro, what you got going on Patreon?
Hey, man, appreciate that. So we got the film breakdowns of the explosive plays. We do the quarterback pass attempts. So I do a video where I just drop back every time Mac Jones drops back for a pass attempt. And we kind of look at his throws and see why this one was connected and why this one wasn't. If they were good, they were bad, high, low, all that type of good stuff. So that's the Mac Jones. And then I do the explosive plays offensively and defensively. And then when I'm home, I do the live watch parties. But this week, we will be at the game. So it won't be a watch party this week. But the following week, the watch parties will return. All right. So that's what I got going on the Patreon for the week.
Love it, man. Go support. We've got a Zoom hangout tomorrow over on our Patreon, the49ersrush.com. Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to get together. We're going to talk all things 49ers. That's a chance to hear from you. Now, if you are a bettor and you want to bet, here's the place to go. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, Super Contest, Survivor Pools, Casino, Blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So, football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, shout out to Silent. Appreciate the super chat. He says, how many more losses until he realizes he can't out-scheme a great defense with scrub offensive linemen? Shenny,
too far up his own rear end? Will they finally go get offensive line at one? If so, who? Yeah, I think that their priority will always be defensive line, and I think that the priority this past offseason was stop the run, which they've done a great job with until this past week. I'm with you, though. Like, interior offensive line has been as completely neglected as possible. You haven't drafted an offensive tackle in four consecutive drafts, the only team in the NFL. You haven't drafted a center in over a decade. Marcus Martin was the last center drafted by the 49ers. I think it was about 14 years ago out of USC. Like, what are your thoughts here? Can the 49ers ever become this, like, and you look at the NFL, the Eagles and the Lions and the freaking Colts, three of the best offensive lines imposing their will on opposing teams. Niners, completely different philosophy.
The philosophy has been that. With the Eagles, that's kind of like been their thing. And so when they draft offensive linemen, they're not spending top picks either. They're just getting picks to come in and replenish the older motherfuckers that's been there, right? The Colts, yeah, they landed the land when they got Quentin Nelson, and then, you know, it's kind of built from that. And so, I mean, the Niners, the last time they drafted an offensive lineman in the first round was Mike McGlinchey. So that was a tackle. As far as interior guys, I mean, they got Pooney in the third round a couple of seasons ago. So they do address it. If you're asking, are we going to get one in the first round, I just feel like the Niners always feel like they have other needs. It shouldn't have been a wide receiver. Maybe they could have went with an offensive lineman. I don't know. When I go to the Senior Bowl, all I'm doing is checking the trenches. There's plenty of prospects out there. They could have addressed it this year as well, but they went defensive line, and I'm not mad at it. But I just think, you know, I don't know. I don't know. The philosophy says they won't. But maybe it changes. Maybe it changes. And we're not going to, and let me be clear, we're not going to rebuild the offensive line in one season. The teams John just mentioned were seasons of trash-ass teams. They were trash. Colts been trash. The Eagles were trash. And who else was trash? Whoever. But they took time is what I'm saying.
Right.
So
it takes time, and you got to invest in it.
And you got to invest. And so to sign an offensive line in free agency, that would be more most likely to happen for the 49ers to me than them to land one in the draft. I think they'd rather bring in a secured guy that fits the scheme up and address it that way than to draft a guy with high draft capital. That's just what I think. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Ben Bartsch being activated.
Oh, that's a blessing.
It's a big deal. Now, can he stay healthy? He has not at any point in his career ever. But I will take, like, left guard is an issue. Connor Colby is consistent. Like,
if we were mad that we got that we let Aaron Banks walk, right? And I thought Aaron Banks. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I like Aaron Banks. He's as unhealthy as Ben Bartsch.
Ben Bartsch, yeah, that's true. That's true.
He does play through it.
That's true.
But I'm happy about that. He was never a scheme fit. That was a Trey Lance transition thing that just never panned out. Let him go get paid. But like Ben Bartsch, like they benched Connor Colby after another fourth quarter, fourth down, false start, like mentality and consistency just not there. You bring in Nick Sakell, he was worse. Nick Sakell's not the answer. We understand that. Is Ben Bartsch the long-term answer? No, you paid him $1 million this offseason. But he is better. Matt Hennessy did not have a good game. It was Jake Brendel, consistent with the last 2 years, what we've seen. But, like, Matt Hennessy's not the long-term answer. I'll take Matt Hennessy because at least he blocks to the whistle and has effort and passion and doesn't quit in the middle of the plays. But, like, is Matt Hennessy the long-term answer? Hell no. No.
You know, Kyle Shanahan's system has worked the best when the center was intact. And I just feel like it's got to be a certain guy, certain type. I don't think those guys be in the draft. I'll be honest with you. To us, they do. But, I mean, not getting like a Creed Humphrey or one of those dudes, then I don't know, man. I feel like Kyle's, I think the center of is going to be the center of attention. The center is going to be the center of attention during this offseason. I really do.
I hope so.
Whether it's draft or not, it's going to be the center of attention.
Yeah. Burford coming back, that helps. I think if Burford would have been healthy this past month, he would have been the starting left guard.
I said that, but people wanted him at tackle, and I'm like, why?
I think he'd be the backup left tackle too, though.
That's fine. He'd be the swing tackle, but he would be starting at the guard.
And then if the tackle injury happened, you kick him out.
You kick him out. Yes, sir. And I can still see that happening. I think Burford will be activated this week, okay, from the IR. And then you might hold out one more week of Ben Bartsch. Maybe Burford goes in at left guard this week against the Giants.
Yeah, I think Shanahan is not the biggest Connor Colby fan.
And that's fine. Connor Colby, seventh round pick, just needs time. This guy's got to develop. And he just, the penalties to me, like downfield blocking, he's got it. But getting downfield to block is not getting off these snaps, false start. This is that, it's hurting the team. Like, think about it. The Niners offense in this past game could not get into a rhythm. First offensive play of the game was an illegal procedure. Luckily, you got me.
So this is an issue, and we talked about this. So I went through, and I have a whole section of notes. I want to go through this real quick, Wayne. The 49ers offense is the worst first down offense in the NFL. It has been all year. So here are all – listen to these negative plays on first down. You ready? Juwan Jennings lines up wrong. Penalty. Juwan Jennings, face mask. Penalty.
Penalty.
Christian McCaffrey runs for no gain. Connor Colby missed block. First down. Another first down. Incomplete to Christian McCaffrey. Pass was behind him. Juwan Jennings dropped pass for – that was that deep ball.
Deep ball.
First down. Christian McCaffrey, one-yard run. Christian McCaffrey, tackle for loss, negative 5 yards. Incomplete to Christian McCaffrey. Incomplete to Bourne. Interception to Juwan Jennings. Mac Jones sacked, 10-yard loss. All those were first downs this week versus Texans. Like, that's 11 negative first downs.
And that – my friend, for people that think I'm this Shanahan fan, is why I don't blame Kyle Shanahan when the players that's why. If the players aren't executing and they keep up, you can't blame the coach offensively when he's dialing up plays for them to be explosive, touchdowns, first downs. The players are they're f***ing up. Yeah. Didn't have my button on Sunday. I got it today, though.
Wade was recorded in the car, and I heard the horn go off a couple times. I was like, I bet he's using that as his soundboard to bleep out the customers.
I was pissed,
he was pissed. It's what it is. We got some good barbecue, though, down
there. Oh,
shout out to the pit room. You pit guys room. Are best. JP, my man, he says, how was the 40 hours road trip Saturday? It was incredible. Just want to say thank you, man. He's been a member for 16. He's been a member longer than that. YouTube always messing up. He's always support. But, man, Wayne, tell us about what you got going on this week. Take us out of this show. Let's wrap it up. The good news I switch it back to Wayne, 49ers are 5-3. 49ers have a great schedule moving forward. 49ers are in control of their own destiny. 49ers are actually getting a couple players back. So, yeah, today was a little bit of a negative episode, which we don't usually do. But still control their own destiny. Get back Purdy, get back Pearsall, get back Bryce Huff, get back Ben Bartsch, get back Spencer Burford, get back Sam-O, get back some of these guys. I think the 49ers are going to be all right. I still have us as a playoff team. Playoffs were today, you'd be the seventh seed, but you got to distance yourself. You're going to win every single tiebreaker in the NFC because you got one conference loss and you're 3-0 in the division. You stay with that, you're going to be all right. Wait, tell me what you got going on the rest of this week so we can subscribe if you haven't yet. Everybody go check out The Wayne Breezy.
Yeah.
And walk us out of here, my friend.
All right, man. Look, tonight, Tuesday nights, we got the Fantasy Football Show. Co-host Peachy will be talking about fantasy football week 8, recap, all that good stuff. On this Thursday, it's going to be several shows, so make sure you line there. You got the Madden Challenge. Nitty Gritty will be on Thursday this week, so you don't want to miss that. We'll be delivering our preview to the Giants game as the 49ers head to the East Coast. And then on Friday, it's more 49ers. There's content all week long, so make sure you subscribe to the channel. Guys, John left you on a great note. I'm going to try to leave you on a better note. We head to the East Coast to play the New York Giants. I know they're going to be dealing with some they had a traumatic experience. We already know what that's like. So I definitely keep them in our prayers, losing Cam Scadabo. But I'd be good damn dog damned if we lose to a rookie quarterback this year. And I'm sorry, it is just not happening. After a crazy defensive performance that we just witnessed, it's not happening 2 weeks in a row. I guarantee you Robert Saleh will have those young troops whipped into shape, and they will be out there attacking the dart. I can't wait. Faithful, stay faithful. get your fists up, and we about to take this ride. To the east we come. To the east we take over. Back up into the winning category. 6-3. Here we come, baby. Niners all day. Peace.
Peace.